Yeah, welcome to Comic Culture, the radio show that champions the local comic book shop. Broadcasting at 93.3 CFMU, McMaster Radio, podcasting at comicbookdaily.com, getthepointradio.com. I am Walter DeRiley, Overstreet Price Guide Advisor.
And I am Chris Owen, Professor at Hamilton's Mohawk College.
And we were just rocking the Krantz.
Rocking the Krantz. And you know what? It's been a while. I like to play things up a little bit, and I thought, you know what, this time we're going to do an all Krantz episode.
I love it. All Krantz episodes.
All Chris, the time.
That's why I came.
I heard that.
Hey, we like to start the show every week. Chris and I come here every week, and we share the goodness of comics with everybody.
The goodness.
Chris picks up a few things that are hitting your local comic book shop this week, and he, what would you say you do with these?
I peruse them, and I examine them, I use them, talk about them.
For the customer, what do you do with them?
I like to review them.
Review them. That's the word I was looking for.
Review them.
Review them. All right. And so, hey, Chris's new this week segment is brought to you by Free Comic Book Day. It's like Christmas, but warmer.
But much warmer.
Much warmer.
And there's no Santa.
And it's warmer.
All right. Yeah. Listen, so we're going to start off this week by talking about some DC comics. The first one I want to talk about is DC's Injustice Ground Zero, issue number 9. So now, for those of you in the know, there's a video game that came out many years ago called Injustice. And it's a Street Fighter, Mortal Kombat style fighting game where you get two popular DC characters together. So Batman can fight Superman, or, you know, there's like 30 characters. So
yeah,
it's not just that. There's like Deathstroke and Joker and Harley Quinn and, you know, Aquaman and all kinds of different characters. Mm-hmm. So what they did was they decided to make a comic about this Injustice, right? So now Injustice 2 is coming out. And Injustice 2 is now going to be coming out in the next few months. I think it's coming out, I don't know, sometime in the summer, maybe in May. Anyways, it's so now they're doing this Ground Zero as sort of a lead-up to this new Injustice comic. And, man, it's terrible.
Terrible.
It is a terrible comic. I don't know. The Injustice comic, the first one was actually pretty good. This one is just bad. I don't know what to tell you. It's just boring, and it really doesn't do anything for me.
This one does not do anything for Chris. But no. Hey, Chris, you know what? It opens up a discussion for you and me to have.
That is true.
And
so, actually, I want to talk about this.
Sorry, okay,
go ahead.
Which angle did you want? How do you want it from? Like, which side do you want it from?
Okay. You go ahead, and I'll tell you what I was going to say.
Right. Well, my question was this: you know, like the local comic shop. God bless them all.
Yeah.
You know, they're in tight. They're in tough.
Mm-hmm.
They're scraping for every buck. They're making their shops look good. They're trying to order the right stuff because it's not returnable. And they're trying to guess right. They can't hold too much, but they can't not have enough. All that kind of stuff. There's no glamour in printed comics.
No, there really isn't.
So, you know, we're seeing these beautiful results for all these great films, but hey, you know, is it spilling over into the comic book shop?
Right.
Sometimes a little bit, whatever, like
right,
that.
Right,
but, you know, it's almost like the local comic book shops, heaven forbid say, like, are competing with the films, even though they're not.
Right.
But my point is, they're looking to the films for... But now, it's like video games, too.
Right.
Video games is also stealing these properties. Like, I don't know if you remember when, like, that Grand Theft Auto, the last one, or the last, the war one, the one that
Call
gets
of Duty.
Call of Duty. Those things, like, had opening weekends, like, movie opening weekends, where they made, like, flipping $50 million
easily,
opening weekend, or $80 million, or $200 million. I don't know what the heck it was.
Yeah.
Massive amounts of money.
Yeah.
In kind of the video games.
Right.
And, you know, DC's, whatever you call this, Injustice Grounded, Ground Zero, sorry, is another one of those things.
Right.
And so, I'm just wondering, like, I'm not wondering, I guess I'm trying to ask, is, it's like, it's all the comic book properties seem to be making so much money outside of the actual comic book.
Right, right.
If that makes sense at all.
But you know what? Okay, so here's the thing.
Here's the thing.
Years ago, remember we used to praise how, you know, there's this interwoven pop culture stuff.
Yeah, where, everything.
You know
what,
you know, if you liked Batman, well, now you could like Batman in a movie.
In many different ways.
You know, graphic novel and a video game and all these different ways.
You can have Batman any way you want him.
You really can. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like Harvey's.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I'm gonna go out on a limb and I'm gonna say there's too much now.
Ah,
there's too much.
Yeah,
I don't need to have overexposure in everything. I like my Injustice video game. I don't need to have an Injustice comic book to go with it. I don't need to have the Injustice action figures to go with it. All I want to do is play the Injustice video game.
Well, wait a minute, Chris. Because you and I champion the local comic book shop,
right?
Why don't we just say, no comic video games.
You know,
no comic movies.
Okay.
If you want a Thor fix or a Spider-Man fix,
you
have to go to your local comic book shop, pal. If I were Marvel and DC, I would say no to your $250 okay. million. Dollars.
You got a great point. Uh-huh. You got a great point. However, it's being spread too thin. Right? So mm-hmm. why not take that? They had an Injustice comic book. And instead of just doing like a 4-issue miniseries that leads up to the video game,
right.
maybe tell us some extra storyline,
mm-hmm.
they spread it over like the Injustice comic book before was like 3 or 4, you know, years long, and then they've got this Ground Zero, which is going to be like it's already up to issue number 9. Why not have like a miniseries that just sort of leads up to it a little bit, talks a little bit about it, has some great art, instead of watering it down so you get, you know, nothing that you really care about.
Watering it down.
Yeah, that's right.
All
right,
listen. Injustice Ground Zero number 9 is at your local comic book shop today.
All right. Next up, I want to talk about Superman number 20, A Storm is Coming.
Storm is coming.
So first off, I got to tell you, the art on this one is awesome. Patrick Gleason is an awesome artist. He's really becoming an awesome artist.
Uh-huh.
I shouldn't say becoming. He already was an awesome artist. He did a lot of work on Green Lantern years ago. And Peter J. Tomasi and Patrick Gleason both did the story. Great storyline. I really liked this issue. I really liked this particular issue. Is a meeting of Superman and Batman. We've got the their kids are involved and they're meeting and they're sitting around the dining room table and Batman is eating apple pie.
Nice.
It looks like something out of Norman Rockwell almost, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I just really liked the storyline. I liked where this is going. I understand that this is sort of a lead up to bigger things, lead up to Black Dawn, which is this is Black Dawn Part 1, so it's the next great, one of the bigger things that's happening with the DC Universe.
Right on, Black Dawn. Hey, when you talked about that, like, you know, like Superman, you know, and I think we've talked about this before on the show, how Superman is a bit of a tough sell.
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
So, I know, I don't know if you read it, but I have to visit my Undervalued Spotlight again.
Right.
The one I wrote a couple days ago was I picked Fantastic Four number 232.
I saw that.
And in it, a lot of the fans that were talking about Fantastic Four, the burn run of Fantastic Four.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you got to remember, by the 200s, Fantastic Four was old and stale.
Yes.
You know, a la Superman, yeah, kind of, yeah. Right? And what a lot of the fans of the 80s that read that run, that five-year run, that beautiful run by Byrne, all they said was, you know what? It was just back to basics, great storytelling, and so... All you need for these properties is some consistency. You know, we've talked about it a million times, but you need a good writer, a good artist, and just give me some consistency. Have me look forward to coming in and picking up where the story left off, but don't do it for 3 issues.
I totally agree with what you're saying here. So, you know, the FF run, great run by John Byrne, and you know what? I totally agree with what you're saying about that issue and that run in general.
Uh-huh.
Completely undervalued, completely underappreciated.
Right.
Awesome run on Fantastic Four,
right.
But unfortunately, because Fantastic Four is sort of a non-entity right now, nobody, you know, out of sight, out of mind. Mm-hmm. Nobody cares about it. Nobody knows about it.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the interesting part. So what you're saying
about,
here's what you're saying about consistency. Mm-hmm. I was reading articles, and you know, I can't for the life of me remember if it was in Bleeding Cool or Newsarama, but they were talking about artists and how, you know, the amount of time that an artist spends on a comic book
the nowadays, tenure.
It's, well, back in the day, like, you know, look at John Romita's run. He had, like, over 200 issues. Mm-hmm. You know, John Byrne and Terry Austin on Fantastic Four.
Or even X-Men yeah.
had, you know, multiple years on these things.
Yeah.
And now nowadays, they're saying that, you know, that, or you can see that these artists are being interchangeable.
Yeah.
And apparently, I was reading articles about this. Apparently, this was a progressive move that Marvel specifically made, because they're talking about the lack of dynamic talent in the Marvel roster.
Right.
Right? So you got guys like Frank Cho who are mm-hmm. working for DC, you know, and Patrick Gleason who are working for DC, and John Romita Jr. who are working for DC, and all these sort of very stylized artists. And you look at the roster of artists in the Marvel side. Jim Lee is working for DC. Yeah. You look at the roster of artists on the Marvel side, and I can't really think of one that stands out, right?
Right.
So they're talking about the fact that Marvel tried to make these artists interchangeable so that, you know, you'd have two or three issues on one book, then you'd go to another book, then you'd go to another book. And you don't have these long runs, but that's what fans want. Fans yeah. want to be able to latch on to this.
And the problem is, in a way, it's like one of those things. It's almost like what happened to Walking Dead.
Yeah.
In a sense of this, is you're not going to convince the fan base or the guys that are off the wagon to pick up FF232 at FF232.
Right.
You have to invest months and months and months before guys start hearing or reading or noticing or having rumors, or another guy tells them, oh man, this is good again,
this
man.
Really good.
And it's like, and then they jump, like they may jump on at 240 because they've given up on it, right?
Right?
But the problem is, you know, by 235, 236, Marvel, you know, I'm done with you.
So case in point, you know, the Batman, the new 52 Batman, Greg Capullo and Scott Snyder.
Yeah.
Everybody's going on and on and on how great it was. And I was trying to tell a friend of mine, you need to read this. It's super good. Like the Court of Owls, those first 18 issues or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
You got to read this. I don't know. Yeah, finally, you know, 5 years later, he picks it up. He's like, oh, that was really good.
That's awesome.
Yeah. But, you know, it took him that long to hear all the different articles and read all the articles and hear about it for that long. Right?
Absolutely. Hey, Chris, I think we were talking about Superman number 20, which is available at your local comic book shop.
Okay, next up. We got to talk about so oddly enough, this is a phenomenon that's happening in DC. Anyway. Hanna-Barbera, the Flintstones.
Uh-huh.
So all those Hanna-Barbera titles are actually doing very well.
Right.
And I think, I could be wrong about this, but I think it's partly because they're not new characters, but they're fresh characters that haven't been done in comic book form for many years, if ever at all. And so there's all these storylines and takes on these characters that haven't been done before. And it's going at gangbusters.
And I don't think the Flintstones have ever been done like this.
Not like this.
Yeah.
No.
This Flintstones is done a different way.
This is a more
adult
version. Yeah.
You know, not mature content,
no.
But like, you know, with political satire, with you know, kind of a social message.
That's right.
Subversively done through, you know, sequential art, which is fantastic.
That's right.
And I've been hearing fantastic things about that. Like,
absolutely.
I think I'm gonna pick that up.
Yeah,
right?
Because
I mean, all the sites are saying, hey, you know, this is the best book you're not reading.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah, that's right. And I've heard that, and the other one, The Future Quest, is doing really well as well.
Right.
So lots of great stuff going on right now.
Awesome. Hey, The Flintstones, number 10, is at your local comic book shop.
All right. So this is a big week for Marvel. I know we just bashed Marvel a little bit. But, but you know what? I think and I hope they're starting to listen to the fans, and they're starting to go back to some of the basics. And one of the books that they're going back to the basics with is The Royals. And this is the story of the Inhumans monarchy with Black Bolt and Medusa.
I don't like it.
Why don't you like it?
I don't like the name The Royals as the title.
I agree.
It should be The Inhumans.
I totally agree with you on that.
The Royals is confusing. right away.
Yeah, I know. Totally. But you know what's not confusing? And I got... So here's the thing.
Here's the thing.
I gotta say that I was a little leery about this guy, John Boy Myers, doing the artwork.
John Boy?
John Boy. That's his name. And you know what? I'm wrong. The art is beautiful. I don't know if it suits the art, the characters of the book.
Right.
But it is very good art. It's amazing art. It has a... Do you remember, like, the Joe Majura, J. Scott Campbell, Umberto Ramos era, three guys? This has a little bit of that feeling to it.
Who could forget Funky Joe Madeira?
Anyway, so Royals comes out today.
Hey, the Royals number one is at your local comic book shop today. Fantastic cover. Have a look.
Now, X-Men Gold.
Gold, Jerry.
Also came out today.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's a big book, right?
That's a big book. X-Men Prime came out last week.
Uh-huh.
X-Men Gold's coming out today.
Uh-huh.
And if you should read X-Men Prime, which came out last week, as a lead-in into X-Men Gold.
X-Men Gold.
Because it talks about the, getting the team back together again sort of thing.
We're getting the band back together.
And I'm excited about this.
I like that art, by the way.
Oh, it's great art.
Oh.
Fantastic art. It really harkens back to, not the art, but the storyline harkens back to, you know, the classic era of the X-Men, you know, with the, so you've got, you know, Kitty Pryde, Wolverine, Colossus and Storm and Nightcrawler, and you got all these all your favorite characters. The writer is Mark Guggenheim, who's, you know, heavily entrenched into the comic book world. Mm-hmm. Does a lot of work for Arrow TV series and all those DC things.
Started a couple of art galleries as well, I believe.
Yeah, started a couple of art galleries. And penciled by Ardian Saif. So really great artwork going on there as well. Really highly recommend this book.
Awesome. Hey, this is Marvel Gold, finally. And that's available at your local comic book shop.
And exciting. Finally, I want to talk about something we haven't really talked about a lot lately. And kids' comics. We haven't talked about.
You got something from Art Balthazar there?
I don't have anything. Not this time. Nothing from Art this time. But you know what? We got Walt Disney's Mickey Mouse published by IDW.
Whoa, Chris, back that up.
Yep.
Beep, 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 beep. You just said Walt Disney's Mickey Mouse.
That's right.
Like, that's a thing?
Walt Disney's Mickey Mouse.
Wow.
I know. Okay.
I thought he was like 40 years past publishing.
You know what? Okay, so. IDW has taken the reins, and remember years ago they used to be published by Gladstone?
Gladstone.
Was it Gladstone or Gemstone?
Both.
Yeah, either way. One of the two. And so these are not new stories. This even right away it says this is the first USA publication of this particular story. This was originally published in Topolino number 2535 in Italy in 2004.
Oh.
However,
who's the drawing? Giuseppe somebody?
Jeez, I can't.
Vito Pasquale. Sure.
Massimo De Vita.
Oh, Massimo. Oh, my goodness. I'm in love with him already.
So, you know what? Lots of Mickey Mouse going on in this. And you know what? You and I have talked many times about how viable Mickey Mouse is a character these days.
Or how unviable.
Unviable, really. But you know what? Clearly, somebody must be buying it.
Wow. Hey, listen. Well, we don't know that yet. Hey, you're right, though. It's up to issue 19. Something must be happening. Hey, Walt Disney's Mickey Mouse, number 19 by IDW. Check that out at your local comic shop.
All right. You know what? That's all we have for new this week. So go out and support your local comic book retailers and take a peruse of the local new this week, what's on the stands. And we're going to have a quick musical interlude. And then we're going to come back.
Oh, you know what you promised, Chris?
What did I promise?
I don't know.
Oh, I did.
All Krantz.
I did promise no Krantz.
All the time.
So here you go. This one's called To Cage a Spider.
Mm. lovely, Chris. Lovely, you lovely.
Love that one?
I love it. Oh, I'm in heaven.
All right.
Hey, listen. That takes us to the industry news portion of the show. And the first segment of industry news is brought to you by Mickey Mouse.
Oh, look at that.
Mickey who?
Mickey who?
Mickey Mouse.
Mickey Mouse.
He never left
Mickey
us.
Mickey Mantle?
Mickey Mantle.
Mickey Way?
Mickey Finn?
Mickey Way the candy bar?
Mm-hmm. Good to have you back, Mickey. All right, let's talk, Chris. Let's talk. Hey, so here, let me ask you a question.
All right, ask me.
Do you regularly jump on and check trailers out online?
You know,
there's a lot of them.
For some. I don't, but there
are. How do you pick and when do you go? Like, is there like a scheduled time of the week where you go, I'm going to go look at trailers?
No, you know what? But I have friends that they'll do that. Like, they'll get on, you know, every Friday night or whatever, they'll just look at new trailers and things like that. I'm not like that. I basically surf a couple of different websites, like Bleeding Cool, Newsarama.
So it's just randomly if there's one on.
If they happen to have one there,
and then
I'll look it up.
Interested in you to look at it, right?
Yep.
Is there like trailer release days, or are they just randomly released?
Sometimes, depending on the trailer. You know, for big movies like Star Wars or like the Avengers, I'm sure we'll have one where they'll actually say, you know what, there's going to be a sneak peek, a new trailer coming up on X particular day.
Wow.
And so they actually do that, yep. You know what, I gotta admit something here.
You know, hold on. You can talk to me, Chris.
I have a confession.
You go ahead. It's just between me and
well,
you.
Well, I've
this won't leave
you know,
the mic.
I don't want anybody else to know this but you.
Okay.
But I'm gonna say that I actually went to go see a movie just for the trailer once.
That I don't know what to say.
Yeah, I know. I went to go see Jingle All the Way with Sinbad and Arnold Schwarzenegger, just so I could see the trailer to Star Wars: The Phantom Menace.
My goodness,
yeah,
Chris,
yeah,
you had it bad.
I'll never get those 2 hours back.
No, did you? I guess it's too late for counseling now.
But if only
you knew what resources were available
to you
for help.
At the time.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, I mean, at least it had Arnold.
Yeah, and it was
Christmassy.
I suppose.
Yeah, other than that,
I'll never get that time back.
Yeah, I hear you, buddy. You
know, I could have been curing cancer.
I know, or something, or shoveling snow, or something.
Anything really.
Obviously the extension to that whole thing is, and how was the Phantom Menace?
Oh, yeah.
Right, the trailer was better, I bet.
Yeah, well, you know what? Anyway, you know what? What were we gonna say about trailers?
Well, I forgot what topic we were on. So there's a Netflix trailer that hit about this Marvel's The Defenders.
Right.
So everybody's talking about this trailer online where Luke Cage, Jessica Jones, Daredevil, and Iron Fist.
Iron Fist.
So the short trailer, it's in black and white.
Yep.
It has the crew gathered in an elevator.
I saw that.
Yeah. And it was on like, I don't know, they say this piece is on the 45th floor heading down. Going down. Then Jessica Jones looks up, spots the camera and smashes it. And then the footage stops at a time of 08/18/2017.
Right.
So and then basically it's coming August 18th, 2017.
Right.
Which I thought was cute.
I think it was a great trailer.
I
think I like the idea of the clock stopping at that time.
Now, let's take inventory, Chris. Take stock.
Yep.
Let's do a little quick review.
Okay. So what is the review?
We have now Daredevil,
yep.
Luke Cage,
yep.
Jessica Jones,
yep.
Iron Fist.
Yep.
The number one show is Daredevil.
Clearly. Yep, no question.
The number two show would be what? Iron Fist?
I have
a feeling Luke Cage is number four.
You know what? I haven't completed watching Iron Fist yet.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of boring.
Right. See, my kid watched it.
And what do you think?
He loved it.
Yeah?
He thought it was the second best one. So maybe I'm only going by one person. And he's like 17.
Okay.
So that's perfect age for viewing this stuff.
Maybe. Now, from what I've heard, though, it really picks up in the second half of the series.
Right.
I got to remember that nobody knows about who these Iron Fist is. They may have heard of Daredevil because there was a movie once.
Mm-hmm.
You know. However, I think with Daredevil was still cool to a lot of people that had never seen anything before, and it was still, it was like the second episode drew you right in.
But hold on, though. Hold on.
Okay.
Daredevil, out of the four, hands down, the concept of Daredevil just knocks anything else out of the ring.
Right.
Now, here you got a guy going blind, and everything else is heightened.
Right, right.
How, it's endless and limitless, the possibilities of that. There, with Luke Cage, you have a guy that you can't hurt.
Right, you know what? My problem.
Maybe if you make him cry or something.
Luke,
I don't know.
Luke Cage was good. It reminded me of a 70s black exploitation type TV series.
Was that what they were trying to do with that?
Part though? Of it, I think.
Yeah.
You know, they had the same kind of tropes. You know, where somebody dies and there's got to be some revenge and there's the club and all that. You know, all that kind of stuff, which is fine. It was still good. I really enjoyed it. But I think I'm enjoying Iron Fist more, and I think you're right. I think Jessica Jones is a very close third to Iron Fist.
Right.
And, Luke Cage was just snoozeville for me.
Yeah. That's what I've heard. I watched one episode of Luke Cage. I thought it was okay.
Yeah, it was just okay.
But, yeah, that never drew me in. I watched season one of Daredevil. I haven't seen season two
yet. Oh, you got to watch season two. No, so here's the thing. I'm wondering how good Defenders is going to be. With everybody.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Sometimes the sum of the parts are either are greater.
Yeah.
You know, or much worse, right? You know, it's like a Rolling Stones. Individually, they all suck, but you put them together, you know, not that they all suck, they're, you know, but none of them are virtuosos,
right.
But you put them together and they're the greatest rock band ever, right?
Yeah.
But you don't know what you're getting here.
Right.
Right.
Now, I just read recently that Jessica Jones has started filming on her second season, which, you know what, I'm happy and sad about, because I really want a third season of Daredevil, and I would much rather have a third season of Daredevil than a second season of any of the other three.
Now, aren't they going to do a third season of Daredevil?
Well, it hasn't been announced yet, so we'll see.
I see. So what I would like to come out of all this, what I'd personally like to come out of all this, is can you imagine they do a third season of Daredevil, but somehow, because there has to be an end game here too. But why does there have to be an end game? What's that called? Walking Dead is at season 39.
You know what? I don't even know if I want to talk about Walking Dead.
Cause okay, but
the last episode on last Sunday night, past Sunday night, was terrible.
Oh,
and it was one of the worst seasons I've ever seen, and I'm seriously considering not watching the next season because it was awful.
They left it too long. Did they jump the shark yet, you think?
That's a great point. I think they jumped the shark on this one. Because you know what?
Don't jump. Spoiler! Beep, boop,
no, not spoiling anything. Oh. But other than saying, okay, it's kind of a spoiler, but not
beep,
really.
Boop, boop, beep, boop, boop.
Nothing happened.
Boop.
It should be more like, that sort of lifeline.
Wah, wah,
happened. Nothing happened. Nobody cares. You know, it's... they've taken this idea of the horror TV show as being a soap opera, and really stretched it out as if I could have been watching The Y&R, I could have been watching General Hospital, and it's become one of those shows where you can tune in five episodes later, no one would care, no one would know, you wouldn't have any difference.
Wow. Well, what I would like to see eventually, though, is for this thing to end up a la X-Files and lead up to a nice feature film.
Right.
Wouldn't that be fantastic?
I would love that.
Now, it doesn't have to be a Daredevil feature film. It could be a Defenders feature film.
You know,
and then you just pimp slap a whole bunch of Avengers in there.
Right.
You know,
I would love that.
During the feature film.
I would love that. Even a couple.
Yeah.
Even a couple.
You know,
I would love
so,
that.
So, I think that would be a fantastic... But, in order for them... Can you pull this off, though? Here's what I'm going to ask you right now.
Ask me.
Is, can you pull this off? Can you go, you know, a new formula? Can you go season 1, 2, and 3, booyah, movie?
Right.
Season 4, 5, 6... Booyah movie.
Why not?
Yeah, that would be
cool.
That would
be great.
So that way, because I think the problem is what most people think is, well, you got to have an end game for a film. The film is the climax.
Right.
The film is like, you know, okay, it's over.
So remember what they're doing. They're doing the exact opposite right now with Inhumans, because they're going to have the first two episodes. It's not a film, but they're still going to have the first two episodes, which are being filmed in IMAX.
Yep.
And they're going to be presented in IMAX at the movie theater. So if you want to see the first two episodes, you go to the movies, and then 3 weeks later, the next episode is going to appear on the TV screen.
Mm. Yeah, I think they should do this every 2 years. That would
be
good.
I agree.
If you have really good TV concepts and that are working well, like Walking Dead could have done this. Every 2 years, you have that kind of second season finale in the movies as a movie theater.
Yeah, I agree.
And then there's a bit of a cliffhanger for that first episode in October, right?
Get season going. Three. This one was just... Honestly, I will probably not watch the next season. It was that bad.
Don't say that.
And but you know what? I was doing some reading up, and apparently the worst ratings it's had in the last 5-6 years.
You know, I'm wondering if that's going to translate into slower Walking Dead comic book sales. Probably not, because I think...
It might. You never know.
It depends, I guess, on what the comic book is delivering. If it's still delivering good stories.
But here's the thing. I read an article saying that they could do... I can't remember who it was, Greg Nicotero or somebody was saying that they've sort of there's a possibility of scheduling the show up until 2030.
Woo!
And you're like, really? I don't want to watch.
Are you for real?
Exactly, right? I don't want to watch this for another 12 years, 13 years.
Yeah.
Anyways. Wow.
Anyways. All right. Listen.
You know what I do like watching?
What?
Okay. Well, you want to have a musical interlude first?
It's up to you, Chris.
Okay. You know what? Let's have a quick musical interlude.
Quick. Let's have a quick.
Come back.
All right.
And I gotta ask you some questions.
Oh, I'm ready.
All right. So listen up. We're gonna have a little more Krantz, and this one here is called "The Big Fall."
Big Fall. Sweet, just getting into that little bit of
that
horns right there, Chris. That was lovely.
Wasn't that, you know what? Here's the sad part about this. So that reminded me of like a James Bondy kind of like 1960s, 70s show or movie, like spy espionage.
Yeah.
And you know what? I'm sure unless you know about the Krantz and this, you'll never hear it.
Nobody knows
never
it.
Never
got a dinner.
Never got a dinner.
Hey, Chris, it brings us into our next segment, which is brought to you by the young and Walking Dead restless. Check out an episode today.
So true. Listen, you know, well, at the beginning of every podcast / radio show, we you always talk about, you know, how you're a comic book aficionado, and
I don't think I ever say aficionado.
Big man working for Overstreet Price Guy. Oh,
okay, maybe. Yeah. It is. Hey, Chris, when you have a feather in your hat,
that's true. You do.
You have to show it
off.
You have
many of them.
Right.
I gotta.
Like a peacock.
Now is your time to prove this to me.
Peacock.
Prove it, peacock.
Right.
You gotta prove how good you are in the comic book realm, and of course, this is what we're talking about with. It's time to stump the chump to see.
Oh, the stump the chump
stump
thing.
Stump the chump. See if you can talk
Chris,
the talk.
I have to tell you something. I wasn't prepared. I didn't think you'd have a stump the chump ready for today. But then I realized it really doesn't matter. Because I just know my stuff.
That's true. That's
regardless.
True. You can't, you know what? You can't study for this anyway.
Right. You can't.
All right. Well, this one should be easy for a guy like you. You're an older guy.
Sure am.
So,
long in the tooth.
How many different actors? How many, first of all?
Uh huh.
How many different actors have played Batman?
Batman. Actors.
Number. Yep.
Now, let me ask you a question.
Okay.
Does Adam West count?
Yes.
Okay.
Why wouldn't he's Batman?
I don't know. If it could be feature films.
Okay, yeah. So Adam West counts.
So Adam West, what's the guy's name? Michael Keaton.
Yep.
George Clooney.
Yeah, that's three.
Val Kilmer.
Yeah, that's four.
Who's the new kid? What's he called?
I can't tell you. That's
The new kid.
Yeah.
Drake something. Blake something. No, he's the new guy. The one was in all the...
Now starring as Batman, Drake.
The guy that was in Superman versus Batman, and then
that's the Dark Knight.
That guy.
Yeah. Right, I'll give you. You know what? I'll give you that. Well, at least he's in that. Ben Affleck.
No. That's not. I was getting to Ben Affleck. That's the guy before it in the Nolan movies.
Batman versus Superman.
I'm sorry. I meant in all the Nolan movies, like the Joker and like the one I should know.
So you're talking about Christian Bale.
Christian Bale! My goodness!
Yeah, all right.
So there, six.
That's six, yeah. Any more?
That's all I know.
Oh, all right. Well, you missed Lewis Wilson. Who was the... It was the very first person to play
like
Batman.
In serials in the 1940s?
That's right, yeah.
Oh, man, I knew it!
And then after Lewis Wilson...
Let me tell you. Let me guess.
Yeah.
Steve Reeves.
No. Robert Lowry. He was in the second serial.
Wasn't he Iron Man?
That's Robert Downey.
Downey. Yeah, right. Yeah, okay. Yeah. I'm sorry. I get them mixed up.
Now, so I'm going to give you... So there's actually 9, but I'm going to say /10, uh-huh. /8.
My God.
Okay. Yeah. So because actors actually
playing... Ernest Borgnine.
No.
Sal Mineo.
Sal Mineo. So... We got Lewis Wilson, Robert Lowry, Adam...
This Buster. Old guy's rolling in the aisles right now, Chris.
Yeah, I didn't even know what Sal Mineo is. George Clooney, Christian Bale. But then we got Will Arnett. So Will Arnett played the voice of Batman for the most recent Lego Batman movie. However. So he was number... He was in there. He was included in my list.
Uh-huh.
However, Kevin Conroy, who played... Batman in the animated series for many, many years, still does it once in a while.
Right.
He was not in the list that I found online, uh-huh. and I think he should be included in
this. Well, how about the Meanwhile, the Justice League? Who played Batman there?
I don't know who that guy was.
Well, I don't know. If you're pulling that out of your butt, you might as well pull the other one out of your butt.
You know what? You're right. You're right.
Apology accepted.
Apology.
All right, so in other words, I got that right.
Yeah, sure. Well, you know, we'll give you that one.
All right, because I caught you.
You caught
I stumped
you,
the stumper.
All right, you know what? You think you're so good?
Uh-huh.
I got one for you, and I don't think you've ever talked about this before.
Ever?
Ever.
Okay.
Who is the first black female superhero?
Oh, you're killing me here.
Mic drop. That's right.
Booyah.
Booyakasha.
Okay, I think I might know this. It's going to be either Big Barda.
She's not black.
Sure she is.
No, she's not.
Yes, she is.
No, she's not.
She's not?
No.
No, she's not. the one in Cap 166.
Way before that.
Way before Cap 166. Because that was like 73 or something like that. Cap 166.
Okay, maybe not way before that. I shouldn't say that. Still before that.
Marvel or DC?
Okay, so I'm gonna say that it's neither.
I was afraid you'd say that.
I know. I'm sorry.
Is it Gold Key?
No, it's something you'll probably never get.
Oh, it's frustrating that I don't know this.
I know.
Can you give me a hint?
You still won't know it.
I don't know it. Hey, why don't you give me a hint? You think I don't know stuff? Right. Give me a hint. Give me a shot at it.
Skywald Comics.
I have no idea.
Yeah.
I know Skywald.
I really know Skywald. Yeah. They did, was it not creepy?
But
they did all those horror magazines.
Yeah, they did Jungle Action or something like that, too, or Jungle Adventures.
So,
the
first black female superhero was in a magazine-style format.
Oh, sure.
Okay, but hold on.
That's the way you tricked the champ here.
I'm just saying.
You screw with the
1971.
Media.
Uh-huh. 1971.
Vampirella.
Butterfly. In Hell Rider Comics.
Oh.
Here's the interesting part, though. So, this Hell Rider was a comic by Skywald.
Uh-huh.
Magazine size, still comic books.
Yep.
Okay. But Hell Rider was partially created by Gary Friedrich.
Yes.
Who then went on to create Ghost Rider. Same concept. Hell Rider was a guy on a motorcycle.
Yeah.
You know, and the backup
story. I might use this, by the way, in a future undervalued spotlight.
I think you should. So, first black female superhero, and she appeared in the backup story of Hell Rider magazine, and her character's name was The Butterfly.
The Butterfly. I love it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
See, you know, I thought you'd like this, and I really do think this is a good undervalued spotlight.
I want to hear
finding it, though.
The scream of the butterfly.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I think that's This Is the End by The Doors.
Okay, so along the same lines, now I couldn't quite find.
You know what? Hold on, I gotta take a breath here, Chris, because I'm over right now. I gotta recover. Chris, can you hand me some of that Coca-Cola that you
yeah,
have?
Absolutely,
right there?
Yeah, no hold problem. On, yeah, no problem. So you know what? Hold on.
Thanks.
There you go.
Thanks, pal.
No problem. So along the same lines, and I found it hard.
Oh, yeah, that's better.
I found it hard to actually.
You found it hard?
I found it hard.
Uh huh.
To actually find a definitive answer on this.
Oh, so you're going to ask me the question.
But I reworded the question where there
okay,
is
okay, so you tricked me with format. I don't know what else you did. You got the first one wrong.
Yeah, that's right.
And now you're not sure about the third one.
Hey, you know what? I am a comic book aficionado.
I can see where this is going.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay, so who's the first female character to have a book dedicated to her? Doesn't necessarily mean it was titular comic.
Hey, careful. It's a family show.
I know.
Uh-huh.
So it doesn't mean that her name was in the title.
Uh-huh.
But with the first book dedicated to that character. First right. female character.
So let me ask you a question for one hint.
Ask me.
Was the book named after the character?
No.
Because I was going to say 1945's Nelvana compilation.
Well, there's one that would be before that, right? Because
Wonder Woman would be 1942, right?
So, but before that,
442.
Yes, but it's not her name. I think Wonder Woman was the first one to have her name after the title, from what I've found.
Sensation Comics, number one. That would be an all Wonder Woman vehicle.
What year is that, though?
From what I'm going to lie here to win this. 1927.
Okay, hold on. I don't know that one.
Uh-huh.
From what I found on the them there internet.
Them there.
And I could be wrong.
Yeah.
Sheena.
Jungle Comics?
In Jungle Comics. I think it was actually Jumbo.
Jumbo, yeah.
In 1938.
Yeah, you were right. Sheena.
In the UK, though. So, but here's the thing.
Here's the thing. You know, Chris, you've out here's the thing
know,
in this show.
I know.
I got to catch up.
So... Phantoma by Fletcher Hanks was also a character that had her was they're saying was a it created in 1940 and so I was reading that she was actually the first superhero because she changed right so Sheena didn't change. Sheena's just
she was a jungle,
just a jungle girl.
She was Tarzan.
Phantoma went from like a beautiful goddess to like this weird, hideous, death being.
Wasn't that a Canadian white Phantoma?
I don't know about that. It was appeared in one of those weird Fletcher Hanks books. I can't remember the name of it now, but it's it's an odd comic. But anyway, right. So they're saying that was in 1940.
Very, very cool. This is very cool. I love this discussion, this topic, because it's all like, it's obscured by hold on, all this stuff is obscured by the mists of time.
Oh, look at you.
Yeah,
mists of time.
Yeah. And so it's so far back that we don't really have a clear picture, and we would love to have a clear picture.
We don't. Okay, we got two more questions for you. Two more questions.
I was trying to avoid it with poetry.
I know. So... I realize that those first few questions might have tripped you up. Might even tripped me up, really.
Yeah.
So I thought I'd give you an easy one here.
All right.
Okay. What's the first
appearance? Never ever say I thought I'd give you an easy
first
one.
First appearance of the Human Torch.
Oh!
Golden Age.
Golden Age, first appearance of the Human Torch. Don't tell me.
You know this.
Marvel Comics number one.
Correct.
Right.
Hey!
1939. Now.
Oh, okay.
Who else was the headliner in that comic? What other major superhero from Marvel headlined that comic.
I'm going to say Submariner.
Yes. But was that Submariner's first appearance?
I'm going to say no.
No.
That was in All Winners?
Motion Pictures Funnies Weekly, which was a promotional giveaway at movie theaters that are only like 12 copies that don't exist.
Have you ever had one of those?
Never. Oh. Well, who are you? Who am I talking to? All right. I'm one for four.
One more.
I'm like Cal Ripken. Hey, I'm batting 250.
Hey, you're doing all right. Mm-hmm. You know what? If you were in the major leagues, this would be, you'd be doing
great. I wouldn't be sent to the minors.
No. Okay, finally, what year did the Comics Code Authority start? And what year did it stop being used entirely? So for those of you who aren't too sure what I'm talking about here, at some point, comic books were regulated by an outside body for violence and names and swearing and sexuality and all that kind of stuff. It was called the Comic Code Authority, and it was started at one point.
Yeah. I'm gonna get a 0.5 on this because it started in 1956.
Nope.
55?
Nope.
Come on.
54.
No, the first code appeared on comics in 56.
Okay, you know
that may have been like the code started up in 54, but you're going to see the first comic code appeared in 56, I believe.
Okay, well, hold on. It's 56. So it says here it was formed in
uh-huh.
in 1954 by the Comics Magazine Association of America.
But the first one that went on a book was 56, I think.
Let's see if that's. I don't know if that's going to be in here. Hold on a second here.
Look at Batman 1956. I don't know.
You could be right.
Yeah, anyway, I think I'm right. Let's right, just
well,
pretend I'm right.
You know, we're going to say you're right.
Like, Showcase 4 was an early... Never mind. Okay, I'm pretty sure.
When did it end?
That's the part I don't know.
All right.
Hold on. So it actually... I know that the publisher stopped using it after a while.
Right.
Okay. But it officially ended, I'm going to guess.
Okay.
2012.
So close.
Oh.
So close. 2011.
Oh.
2011 was officially abolished, if you want to call it that.
Yeah.
DC and Archie were the last ones to use it, and they finally got rid of it in 2011.
Right.
So that's the way that
was. Here's a little bit of history for you, Chris. A
little bit of history.
Yeah, you're going to know this. What was the comic that people say was responsible for the revision of the Comics Code that allowed things like aforementioned Ghost Rider and Damien Hellstrom and all those early 70s horror, macabre, gothic horror genre to revive itself? There was a reason why those books came to being in a rush around 1970-71.
Interesting.
Yeah, there was a reason. There was a book that was the catalyst for change. There was a book that had a reaction to it, that then the powers that be reviewed it, and then they relaxed all the restrictions to comics, and thus there was a gold rush of horror, macabre, early 70s stuff.
Okay.
If you notice, there was.
Okay, yeah, I agree. Yes. Yeah. Was it Tomb of Dracula?
No. Mm. Tomb of Dracula was a 1972 book. That was the beneficiary of such things.
Okay. No? So what was it then?
It was Amazing Spider-Man number 96.
Was that the drug issue?
The first drug issue that Stan Lee wrote because the U.S. government asked him to write it.
Right.
Because the one hand doesn't know what the other hand is doing, the government asks Stan to write an anti-drug story.
Right.
Stan writes it. The Comics Code comes in and says, hey,
you can't
the
do
word
this.
Drug is in here. You can't do that.
Yeah, yeah.
But Stan goes, hey, the government asked me to do this. The code goes, hey, our mandate is not to allow it. So Stan prints it anyway. So right. if any fans of Spider-Man will note, on the only, you know, in the early Spider-Man run, now up to number whatever, the only three issues that don't have a Comics Code Authority on it are 96, 97, and 98.
Right.
They're called the drug issues.
Right.
And that little fiasco made... meetings happen.
Right.
Say, hey, you know, we got to relax this
stuff.
Hey,
listen here, JB.
Look here, JB. You know, this is all antiquated stuff here. Yeah, we gotta get with the times.
We gotta figure out what's going on here.
Yeah, pass me that surfboard. I don't know. I was going to say something else, but family show. So, yeah. So, anyway.
All right. Very interesting.
So I think I got 1.5 there.
I'll give you 2.
Ted Williams batting 400 there.
Batting 400. You know what? You'll be on my team anytime you like.
Nice. Thanks, Chris.
All right. Let's have a quick musical interlude here. And this one's called The Bugle. That was a quick one.
All right, yeah, it was.
All right, it was like 26 seconds.
Listen, brings us to the last part of industry news, which is brought to you by Free Comic Book Day. It's like a bar mitzvah, birthday, retirement bash,
for
all rolled into one.
Yep.
It's the best day of the year, and we, Chris and I, expect everybody
absolutely
to head into their local comic book shop this Free Comic Book Day, which I don't know if I've ever written a better segue.
Oh, well, that's great. Yeah.
Into our little discussion about Free Comic
Book Day. So, you know, tell me a little bit about Free Comic Book Day.
Well, I'm going to tell you about Free Comic Book Day. This year, Free Comic Book Day is held Saturday, May the 6th. And it's always held on the first Saturday in May, as regular listeners would know. Because we've been sending listeners to Free Comic Book Day now for, 8, 9 years?
At least.
Yeah. So, yeah.
So Free Comic Book Day is going to be on May the 6th. Now, that's also the day after Guardians of the Galaxy opens up.
Yeah, I think Guardians would open up on the Thursday night, midnight or something like that, or whatever it is.
Yeah,
now.
They tend to do that now, yeah.
Yeah. So, of course, I don't know how that relationship started, Chris, where Marvel's big kind of May blockbuster release.
As always.
Well, Free Comic Book Day actually initially picked the date because of, I think it was the first Spider-Man movie.
Something like that. Yeah, I remember
so
that.
So they go, hey, let's try to get, you know, piggyback on this.
Yep, yep.
And now it's kind of a cute little marriage between the two. It's almost like the movies know that Free Comic Book Day is the next day or something like that. Yeah. Now, here's the thing. I got one in, guys.
Way to go, yeah. That's good.
I'm so proud of myself.
You should be.
I think because Marvel is doing the Free Comic Book Day weekend movie, they should somehow squeeze in an homage to the Free Comic Book Day movie. Or
wait, beep, beep.
Sorry, they should somehow.
Not movie.
They should somehow pay homage by paying for a preview ahead of time.
Right.
For that movie,
I thought maybe there was a movie coming out called Free Comic
Book. No. Or like in Guardians of the Galaxy, it's like, you know, the guy's in prison. It's like, he's going, damn! He goes, Groot, what's wrong? Or sorry, what's the guy's, the raccoon?
Yeah, Rocket.
Raccoon, what's wrong? Oh, I'm locked up in tomorrow's Free Comic Book Day! I can't make it to my local comic shop. I'm not asking for that, even though that would be
Awesome.
Uber cool, right?
Yeah.
But
you know what? Okay. They could do that.
Yeah,
they
some way.
Maybe not in the movie, but they could do it in like a promo for it.
Right.
Saying, you know, as a lead up to the actual movie itself.
They can do it in the movie.
It's too weird.
No, it wouldn't be. Stan Lee can deliver the message.
Well, that's true.
He can walk in and go, oh, sorry. I thought this was my local comic book shop.
I thought I was getting free comic books here.
That was Gilbert Godfrey doing Stan Lee, by
the way. That's good. Easy, Zazu.
So what I'm just saying is maybe just a preview until they can figure that out.
Right.
But like right before the movie starts, a nice 20-second attached to the movie.
I like that idea.
You know what I mean? It's like, hey, guys, you know, you're here this weekend. It's Free Comic Book Day weekend.
So what can people expect to get from their Free Comic Book Day?
Well, they're gonna go in, and every comic book shop is different. But is there something online where it lists the comics?
Well, this is okay. Let me bring up something here. Hold on. So these are the gold sponsors.
Yeah. But there's at least the card you have to tap into each one to see what the comics are.
Let me see what I can do here for you. Let me be your...
oh, there we go.
There you go.
Yeah, the gold comics. Okay, that's what we need. Perfect. Every comic book shop's different. Some will have... There's always going to be a limit. Listen, comic book shops have to pay for these things. And honestly, they can be up to like 40, 50 cents each.
Right.
So you can't go in there and say, hey, I want one of everything.
And you know what? It doesn't sound like a lot of money. Uh-huh. You're like, oh, it's 50 cents each.
But hey...
A thousand people.
Yeah, and they're each taking 20 comics.
Right?
They're giving away 20. You know, that's $10,000 of a local comic book shops. I mean, that's drink. Yeah. That's drinking money for two shows for us.
Almost.
Because Coca-Cola is expensive.
It is these days.
Went up. Yeah, so, you know, a comic shop may have a limit of four, or a limit of five, or a limit of six. Whatever they have, just be thankful and grateful. And what they do, like we said before many times on this show, they'll deck the store out. They'll make everything look pretty.
Are you going to do that for your store?
Probably not. You kidding? Nah, yeah, no time. And you know, they'll staff it to the gills, and there'll be lots of people there to ask questions to. It's just a great...
you know, it's a great atmosphere, usually. I know in years past, I know at your store you've had, like, cosplayers come in.
Artists. And the local library. The
library's there.
Nope. It was funny, we had 1 year, I don't know, maybe 6 years ago or whatever. It was like one of the people working at the store goes, hey, well, I got a great idea. You know how it's a long lineup to get your comics to the counter? I go, yeah, I know. We got to, you know, really work on that. Yeah, okay, we'll add an extra temporary till, but why don't we get a magician?
Right.
And he'll walk around and he'll entertain everybody.
I
go, that's fantastic. What a great idea.
Yeah,
let's
awesome.
Do that. And then he came in, and I remember he was fantastic, I remember he was going up and down the aisles, and people were laughing, and they were forgetting that they were in the long line.
Right.
And so everything was perfect.
Yeah.
And then, like, a week later, I get this, like, $550 invoice from the magician, right? I go, hey, wait a minute, nobody told me this is going to cost money.
Well,
I thought the guy was trying to, you know...
Increase sales
for himself. You know, build a resume or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't know you had to pay for magicians, Chris. I thought they worked for peanuts.
You're thinking of elephants.
I got it wrong. Anyway.
You know, listen, very quickly. We're actually running out of time.
Yep.
Very quickly, gold sponsors. We're looking at Archie Comics is doing Betty and Veronica.
Yep.
Bongo Comics, you're going to see an awesome Simpsons comic book coming out. Then let's go to Marvel Comics. You're going to have Secret Empire, which is the lead into Captain America being part of Hydra, which is awesome, of course. You've got a free Wonder Woman comic coming out from DC. And you've got Exo Manowar coming out from Valiant. Lots of awesome stuff. So, you know what? I highly recommend going to Free Comic Book Day. That's just a small smattering of all the books. I mean, there's all kinds of great sponsors, all kinds of great books coming out that day. So, you know what? Go out and check it out.
Never mind the sponsors and the books and all that. That's fantastic. Just the pop culture energy that's going to be at your local comic book shop that day is going to be something that you're not going to want to miss.
Exactly.
Hey, listen. Comic culture is... on 93.3 CFMU McMaster's award-winning radio station, thanks to us. It's on comicbookdaily.com and getthepointradio.com. On this show, Chris did a lot of things, pressed a lot of buttons, made a lot of things happen. And listen, please go out and support your local comic book shop
and have yourself an absolutely wonderful day.